This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performance. And on today's program, we'll be previewing a program that's going to be at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign tomorrow night. It is the 6th annual Granny's Porch concert, this year called Sousa Meets the Mikado. And to find out why it's called that, you'll just have to stick around, except I will tell you it has something to do with a one-woman Mikado and John Philip Sousa. And that's all I'll tell you for now. We'll have folks on in the second half of the show. First half, we'll feature the classical and jazz guitarist Fareed Haq, who is from these parts, meaning at least Illinois, and he currently works and teaches at Northern Illinois University, has lots of groups he plays with in Chicago, and he will be bringing one of those down to the Canopy Club in Urbana on the University of Illinois campus tonight. It is called Math Games. It is a trio of, I hesitate to use the term fusion. I'll ask Fareed about that when we talk. But first, let's hear a little bit of him from his classical roots. It's music of Isaac Albéniz. Thank you. was music by Isaac Albéniz called Sevilla. It was played by Farid Haq, who is currently a professor of jazz and classical guitar at Northern Illinois University, but he's done an awful lot of playing of many different kinds with his own groups and many others. He's actually going to be in our area tonight, specifically at the Canopy Club in Urbana, with his current project called Math Games, and that has sometimes an exclamation point after it. And Farid Haq is on the phone with me right now before he heads down to our area. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So what do you think of this term fusion? It's been applied to you, fusion guitar virtuoso, it says actually on Wikipedia, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think fusion is a term that has all kinds of connotations among music lovers. And I think sometimes when a term becomes so charged with meanings to different people, it becomes eventually kind of meaningless, because it depends who's saying it and what context they're using it. For some musicians, fusion has become a dirty word. For other folks, fusion is the wave of the future. For some folks, fusion is a type of Japanese cooking. You know, I don't know. I don't really embrace that term so much. I am, as he's so correctly stated, a jazz and classical guitarist, and I have roots in both those traditions, and I really emphasize the idea of tradition in modernity. Modern music, whether it was Villa-Lobos or Bartok or Stravinsky or Debussy, evolved from an appreciation of folk music and an understanding of modern harmony. And in the modern technological age, really not that different. The greatest innovators in jazz have always been musicians who had great roots in the tradition of jazz, whether it was Miles Davis or Tony Williams or John McLaughlin or Pat Martino. The greatest innovators in the classical guitar world are those musicians who have the strongest roots, John Williams, Julian Bream. So the idea that tradition is necessarily conservative is completely historically inaccurate. Tradition is historically very progressive. Conservatism tends to be, at the end of the day, untraditional. And so while I am dedicated to tradition, I am therefore dedicated to being modern and bringing together all the elements that influence me into ideally some kind of unified whole, and maybe have a little fun while we're at it.
You said you have roots, obviously, in both classical and guitar. Where did it start for you?
Well, I began, with the blessings of my parents. My dad is from Pakistan, so we had Indian and Pakistani music around the house all the time. My mother is from South America, from Chile, so we had South American music around the house, and they were jazz lovers and classical music lovers, so I had records by José Rey de la Torre, flamenco music, Segovia. And when I began to get interested in playing the guitar, I think the first records my mom bought for me back in the vinyl days was Joyous Lake by Pat Martino, Bright Size Life, Pat Metheny, and Elegant Gypsy, Al Di Meola. So that's a whole pile of guitar playing right there.
Yeah. Sounds like your start was almost more with guitar than necessarily with one genre or another. Although those are more jazz players.
Well, but then, of course, there was the Ray De La Torre and the Segovia record and the Ravi Shankar
record.
Sure. At home. So I would say my start was more with music. And I was surrounded by different kinds of music, all of which connected to the guitar. My first instrument was piano. But piano didn't really relate to Indian music. It didn't really relate to flamenco. It didn't really relate to many of the music that I played, that I listened to, rather. And, of course, it didn't relate to rock and roll, at least initially, in 1970, whatever it was, when I was getting interested in music. So the guitar was sort of a focal point of all of these cultures and traditions, and I continue to see it as such. It's one of the few instruments that can bridge all gaps and barriers and find a home in any culture.
Well, it's certainly the instrument that people can pick up and play in almost any kind of music.
Absolutely. Yeah. It becomes an ambassador for cultural, interplay and cultural exchange and a cultural understanding.
When you started college, was your major in guitar performance of some kind?
It was. I mean, I wasn't really that focused on a career as a guitarist. I was just enjoying it. And I was encouraged to audition for North Texas State University. They have a prestigious jazz program. And I won the jazz scholarship to North Texas. Went down there, basically kind of from one day to the next, made a decision that I was going to go and try this music thing. And was there for a year, and then switched over to classical guitar. After I played jazz for about a year, I decided I would come home to the Chicago, where the roots of jazz are, and gig and play, and then study classical music more formally. And Northwestern had at the time a very nice jazz ensemble directed by Don Owens. So I had a good jazz experience there, but for the most part, my jazz experience was playing gigs and going to jam sessions while I studied classical guitar at Northwestern.
Let's say, since you have your own beginnings were multicultural, I suppose, both musically and otherwise, and one of your performing and recording projects is with a group called the Flat Earth Ensemble. And speaking of connections, I noticed in looking at the roster of your Flat Earth Ensemble that three of the Indian fellows have taught down here at the University of Illinois and have all been on our radio show playing live a couple of times.
They're great.
Yeah, one of your tabla players, Subroto, I can never say his name right, Subroto Bhattacharya.
Fantastic, there, well done.
Yeah, and then a sitar player, Indrajit Banerjee, and the vocalist, Nirmalya Roy. They've all been on here. Do they all show up on your Flat Planet CD?
They do. Well, I should take that back. I met Nirmalya after we recorded that, so he is actually going to be on the next CD, which is about done now. And Indrajit and Subroto are on both of them. Absolutely.
Well, let's hear a tune from Flat Planet. It comes from 2009 with the Flat Earth Ensemble. Fareed Haq is my guest and is the guitarist here, called The Hangar. Any kind of preview you'd like to give to this before we just hear it?
Well, you know, I grew up around Punjabi music, Northern Indian music, and I began to find that Bhangra beat that's so popular around the world was very much like a swung jazz beat. So in my mind, there were connections and the little roots, tendrils tying together between the Pakistani swung groove and the jazz swung groove. So this is an example of a New Orleans Hindustani shuffle.
Well, enjoy it, folks. It's called The Hangar here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Din-din-din-din-din-ta. Tag-din-ta-g-din-ta-g-din-ta-g-din-ta. Dha. Tag-din-ta-g-din-ta. Dha-g-din-ta. Dha-g-din-ta-g-din-ta. Dha. Kr-dha-ni-dha. Dha-g-din-ta-g-din-ta. Din-ta-g-din-ta-g-din-ta-ta. Din-din-ta-din-ta-din-ta-din-ta-din-ta. Thank you. So it was a tune called The Hanger off of the Flat Planet CD with Fareed Haq and the Flat Earth Ensemble from 2009. And Fareed Haq is going to be with his Math Games group at the Canopy Club in Urbana tonight at 9 o'clock, along with some other folks opening the show. Sunny Stubble and Spread are the names of the other bands or individuals. I'm not sure who those folks are. But Fareed Haq's on the phone with me right now, and we'll get to the math games very shortly, because, of course, we do want to spend a little bit of time talking about that. But I also wanted to talk about some of these other groups, because, you know, I asked you right up front about the term fusion, and the good use of the term fusion can simply mean fusing different styles to create something new, which sounds like would be an accurate description of what you've been about, and the Flat Earth Ensemble is one of those, and you gave us some of that background. But then you also have this group called Garage Mahal. This is Absolutely. A fantastic name. Tell me about that.
Well, Garage Mahal was and continues to be a really important and successful group. We toured extensively for about 10 years. And now we've slowed down things a bit just because everybody's so involved with other projects. Some of us are touring with other acts. Some of us focusing on different projects. So we get together now and then for a few gigs, and maybe we'll record another album. But we're taking a little break right now just because so much stuff is going on that we have to tend to.
It sounds from the name like it would have to have some sort of Indian influence.
Well, Kai Eckhart and myself both are very involved in Indian and Pakistani folk and Indian and Pakistani classical music. And so that is an element that we brought to the music. And in addition to that, there's a sort of a garage band element, a rawness and a roughness and a looseness to our approach, which I think was appreciated and very central to the sound of the group. You know, so many fusion bands, typical fusion bands, are very structured, and there is actually not that much improvisation in those groups. And so Garage Mahal was a bit of a throwback to some of the early groups, but with a new twist of, you know, incorporating elements of electronica and funk and drum and bass and this kind of stuff. So Garage was a great run. We had a great run, and hopefully we'll get back together here and there and do some more gigs, do a few more tours.
And Garage is spelled G-A-R-A-J, mm-hmm. like the Taj.
Exactly.
How much of this sort of approach to music do you bring into your own teaching at Northern Illinois?
I think a fair amount. I think ultimately, you know, it doesn't matter where you start. When you grab a thread in this big ball of twine that we call culture and music, you end up walking your way or threading your way into the middle anyway. So whether you start in classical music or jazz or folk music, you end up learning harmony, you end up learning rhythm, you end up learning melody, you end up learning culture and style and language. And all those things unify in good musicians eventually. And so I think it's pretty important to be able to start at any point and show how those points can be related.
I assume from what you said earlier in this conversation that regarding tradition, that you do make sure to give your students a good grounding in tradition, both classical and jazz.
Yeah, you know, I teach them how to swim real good, and then I throw them off the cliff.
Yeah.
And so once we basically spend the first couple of years really focusing on tradition, and then after that, say, now let's take this tradition and apply it to whatever your passion or interest is, and that usually leads to creative sparks and motivation.
So talk about how tradition applies to your latest project, which is called Math Games, the CD that is just out, I guess. It's called Space Math.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the group that you're bringing to the Canopy Club tonight.
Yeah.
It's a trio, right?
Yeah. Well, I should say the album is a live EP, so it's more just a taste of things to come. We're in the middle of finishing up our studio CD. We have one track completed that we're just about to upload to iTunes so people can start checking it out. There has been a great surge in music and technology in the past 10 years. And one of the developments was an instrument called the Moog guitar, the famous Moog company who designed the great classic synthesizers under the guidance of Bob Moog. They began working on a Moog guitar and approached me about pioneering that instrument. And I began playing it a little bit in Garage Mahal, and one of the reasons that I took a break from Garage was because I began to write more and more music specifically for the Moog guitar, and it needed the right ensemble to support it. The Moog guitar is an instrument that has some interesting technology, but it is not a synthesizer. It allows the technology to be manipulated directly by the hands rather than by any kind of MIDI or digital interface. There is no digital interface at all. It's all analog. And so it's a bit of a new instrument. It's subtle, but it's powerful if you learn how to use it. And that's what I've dedicated myself to do. And essentially, the idea of electronic music and music that involves and uses the technology available to us is a very powerful idea when it is connected to the tradition. Anything is funky if you understand how to be funky. Anything can be jazz if you understand jazz in the first place. And I have a bit of background in jazz, so I'm bringing those elements to this electronic music and creating something that's, I think, new and real exciting. It's super fun. It's exciting music. It's electronic music, but it's also very danceable and very grooving and very swinging, if you will, to use the jazz term. But we use a lot of electronic elements, and Alex Austin, the bassist, and Greg Fundis, our drummer, both are tremendous jazz players as well as versed in many, many styles, so they can bring those traditions to the music as well. So basically, this is a swinging jazz trio, but playing with electronic instruments and using electronic elements to create our swing rather than just acoustic instruments.
And does the electronica explain, at least in part, the math game's name?
It does, and you know, there are a lot of little fun things we do with math. We have some pieces based off the Fibonacci series, other pieces based on other mathematical proportions, which you find all throughout musical history. But math is such an integral part of music. Sometimes the mathematical aspect becomes a burden and not a game, not something you play with and use as a basis for fun and for some experimentation. So that's what we're doing here.
And it says here on your website, Professor Fareed Haq recently returned from interstellar pan-dimensional time travel, and the result is math games.
I have been away for quite some time. And you know, it's amazing the kind of synapses that happen when you leave the space-time continuum and other gravitational realities.
Well, welcome back. And let's hear a sample from Space Math, which is the name of the EP currently from Math Games. And we're going to play what we think is a track called Crystal Snow. And it's Fareed Haq here with us live on, with us by telephone here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Bring it home.
That was some of the tune called Crystal Snow from the group Math Games, their EP called Space Math. And Math Games will be at the Canopy Club on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana tonight. Doors open at 8 o'clock. Show starts at 9 o'clock with Sonny Stubble and Spread. And Fareed Hawk and Math Games will come on at some point. Do you know what time your part of the show starts?
I imagine we start about 10:30 or so.
Well, it's been a lot of fun both talking to you and also sampling some of the really great variety of music that you've been involved in. I would encourage folks, you can always go to iTunes and check out some of the Fareed is involved in so many different recordings of many different types, and of course on his website, explore lots of things as well. What's your website, by the way?
It's www.fareed.com. And there's a Math Games page, there's a Flat Earth Ensemble page, there's a newsletter, there's printed sheet music. There are links to, I just did a 2-3 hour DVD-ROM courses for True Fire, and there are links to that there as well. So a fair number of fun stuff to do, and of course you can link from there to Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and get socially mediaed out, so it's
sure.
All there.
And it's Fareed, F-A-R-E-E-D .com, you said, right?
That's right.
.com. I wanted to go out with something from a CD called Super Guitars, partly because this other fellow's been on our show, and I really like his playing as well, Frank Vignola.
Yeah.
And his bassist here, Gary Mazzaropi. And is it Rick Zukor on the drums?
That sounds right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Wanted
great
to do
band.
This. Sorry?
It's a great band.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they're
yeah.
Great. And Frank's a great guitarist, a sweetheart.
Yeah. He's one of these guys where if you just listen to him talk, he sounds like a New York Mafia guy. But if you look at him in his, at least when he was here the one time, or in his black socks and Bermuda shorts and sort of, you know, childlike grin, it's quite a different picture. Wanted to do this tune with the, how do you say this? I ate. That's all that is?
Yeah, I ate. How to spell that? We racked our brains for about an hour trying to figure out how to spell I ate.
And that's just
what Frank would say.
What
you know?
He says.
Right. I ate.
Is it possible to tell who's who here between yourself and him?
I think you'll be able to tell. We have a different approach. And I think I'm playing a nylon string, and he's playing a steel string, so that would be one way to tell.
So sure. His will twang a little bit more, maybe.
His will twang, mine will bong.
Fareed, it's great to talk to you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Hopefully see you tonight.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Fareed Hawk will be with Math Games at the Canopy Club in Urbana. Doors open at 8. Show starts at 9. You heard a little bit of a tune called "Ight." It's actually spelled H. No, I'm sorry, I-I-G-H-T, from the CD called Super Guitars with Frank Vignola and Fareed Hawk, along with bassist Gary Mazzaropi and drummer Rick Zukor, and Fareed Hawk at the Canopy Club tonight with his Math Games trio. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, where our show is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, a Nurison preferred dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. Next up on our show, we've got a preview of the 6th annual Granny's Porch concert, which is happening at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. This year it's called on Friday night. This year it's called Sousa Meets the Mikado, Finishing the Unfinished on Granny's Porch. Show starts at 7:30 with a 6:30 pre-show. And with us once again is Scott Schwartz, who's head of the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, who are putting on this production. And also several of the performers, including the special guest this year, whose name is Nancy Three Hoffman. And among other things, she is director and curator of the world's only umbrella cover museum. So I'm going to get rid of the completely irrelevant questions first. that are so obvious to me. Why is your middle name Three, and what the heck is in an umbrella cover museum?
I'd be glad to tell you.
I thought you've probably been asked both of these things before, so you've probably got it all set.
Absolutely. My middle name is the number three. I changed it myself. My middle name used to be Arlene, which was okay. It wasn't like I hated my middle name. But I was working in an office where someone made a typing error on another person's middle name and gave that person a number instead of an initial. I liked it. I thought I would choose my own middle number, so I went around for about a month testing the different single digits. I didn't want to get too complicated, and ended up with three, which now I love because it translates. So I can be Nancy Trois or Nancy Trace, and I like to sing in different languages and travel. So that's the story of my number three.
Thank you for that. And the Umbrella Cover Museum?
Is the world's only museum of umbrella sleeves. It's strictly the little slip covers, the pockets that come on umbrellas. I have over 750 now in my collection from 45 different countries. And the mission is celebrating the mundane, finding wonder and beauty in simple things, and knowing that there's a story behind every cover. So they each come with a story that is submitted by the donor. These are mostly donated by people to my museum. And of course, you can check it out on the web. There's been, you know, some interesting publicity about it, and I'm very proud to be the director and curator.
Well, I should think so. I mean, if you're going to have an umbrella cover museum, you might as well be
right.
Proud of it.
And it's on Peaks Island, Maine, which is where I spend part of my year.
And where you're also a member of a group called the Casco Bay Tumblers, but we're going to leave that part alone. Here's the other, what makes you do these things. You do a one-woman Mikado, which is really why you're here on this particular concert. Why do you do that?
Because I can. This is the easy answer. I'm also a pianist, and I love to pull music off my music shelf and sing and play at the piano. So one day I pulled Gilbert and Sullivan Operetta off, and I sang the tenor part and the soprano part. And it sounded pretty good, so I thought, oh, I could expand upon this. Let's see if I can do a whole operetta. So over about a year, I created each character and the versions of the songs that I would do, and now I can do the whole Mikado. I mean, it's varied somewhat. This is a shorter version of it that I've brought here to Champaign, but it's the whole plot is in there.
And you come to this somewhat honestly because you also do, I shouldn't say somewhat honestly, right? Quite honestly, because you do, you know, some international cabaret work. You also are a stage director of various things. Which leads me to my next question. For Scott Schwartz, what made you decide to bring Nancy to do a Mikado on a Granny's Porch concert? How does that fit into the whole picture of Granny's Porch?
This year's American music theme is music, dance, and drama. And as I was describing this to Tom Foe, he had said, well, you absolutely have to check out Nancy's one-woman Mikado. And I said, well, okay, give me some links. Let me see what this is all about. And so I saw some of her YouTube pieces, and it was hard not to smile broadly at her version of it. And I says, absolutely, we have to bring her here. It's a perfect way to introduce people not only to Gilbert and Sullivan in a new way, but to show the connection between Gilbert Sullivan and John Philip Sousa. And we have many records in our collection that are, you know, in fact, Sullivan worked with Sousa on several operettas of Sousa. So in some respects, there's this already connection to the two. So it just made perfectly good sense. Let's bring Nancy here to do the one-woman Mikado, and let's then premiere some of Sousa's operetta material.
And he wrote, if I remember reading in stuff you sent me, he wrote more operettas than Gilbert and Sullivan did.
Yeah, just a few more.
But still.
Yep. Although some of them have fallen into oblivion for good reason, and some have never been performed before at all. And we're going to do Catherine, a selection from that he wrote in 1879, but was never produced. So this will be the premiere of a section from Sousa's very first original opera.
And it took how long to get this premiere going?
Let's see, 79 to 2011. Anyone good with math here? I mean, that's a whole lot of time. The Sousa Archives has the original manuscript, so it made perfectly good sense.
But I meant, when did he write that?
The operetta was written in 1879.
Oh, 1879. Okay, I'm thinking you mean 19. So we're talking about 100 plus.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's not bad as these things go, I guess. Well, we have Nancy here, and we also have Sarah Schwartz, as they say, the lovely wife of. I don't know, why do people always say that?
Because she is.
I mean, I'm not saying that it's not true, but, you know, it wouldn't matter. But that's a whole other thing. One of my pet peeves with David Letterman and folks, it's always, the lovely. Never applied to a male. But Sarah Schwartz is the lovely wife of Scott, and Nancy is here. The lovely Nancy is going to do a little bit from Mikado.
The first song will be a song sung by the Lord High Executioner, who's really a cheap tailor. His name is Coco, and he's trying to persuade a woman named Katisha to marry him. On a tree by a river, a little tomtit sang willow, tit, willow, tit, willow. And I said to him, Dickie bird, why do you sit singing willow, tit, willow, tit, willow? Is it weakness of intellect, birdie, I cried, or a rather tough worm in your little inside? With a shake of his poor little head, he replied, oh, willow, tit, willow, tit, willow. He slapped at his chest as he sat on that bough, singing willow, tit, willow, tit, willow. And a cold perspiration bespangled his brow, oh, willow, tit, willow, tit, willow. He sobbed and he sighed, and a gurgle he gave. Then he plunged himself into the billowy wave. And an echo arose from the suicide's grave, oh, willow, tit, willow, tit, willow. Now I'm sure, just as sure as I'm sure that my name isn't Willow, tit, willow, tit, willow, that 'twas blighted affection that made him exclaim, oh, willow, tit, willow, tit, willow. And if you remain callous and obdurate, I shall perish as he did, and you will know why. Though I probably shall not exclaim as I die, oh, willow, tit, willow, tit, willow.
From the Mikado, with the Nancy Three Hoffman as Coco, the Lord High Executioner, singing to the name that I'd love to say this name, Katisha, K-A-T-I-S-H-A, who was an elderly woman who is apparently decidedly unlovely, according to the descriptions.
Right.
In the play.
Right. She's supposed to be an elderly, ugly lady. That's basically how she's described in the show.
Which is most unfortunate. That,
right.
Yes. As Coco feels, apparently.
Right. He says, have you seen her? She's something appalling. And Nanki Poo says, that's only her face.
Well, I was really enjoying getting to learn a little bit of the Mikado, which I saw many years ago in the Chicago area. And I remember being highly entertained by it. And I guess this was their most successful collaboration, both then and still. And so you'll hear... We'll have another excerpt from Nancy in just a couple of minutes, and you can hear quite a number, well, a shortened version of the whole deal on Granny's Porch Friday night, the Virginia Theater, downtown Champaign. The show starts at 7:30, but there's also a pre-show at 6:30. Scott, what's happening then?
We've got some wonderful accordion music and guitar. Yes, accordion music can be beautiful.
Lovely.
And Nancy plays the accordion also.
Yeah, she does. But Nancy will not be playing the pre-concert. We'll have Tom and Celia Foe playing together with Chris Raymond. basically to provide live music for the audience to enjoy before the curtain opens.
And this whole thing is like an old-time variety show.
That is correct.
Which was, is your point.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Surely you knew this, but just in case you didn't, I was told this just before I came in here, that tomorrow is Sir William Gilbert's birthday?
Lucky me, I had no idea. Oh, wait, no, yes, I absolutely knew that.
So you did or you didn't?
I did not.
Well, apparently it's his 175th.
Wow. Script rewrite.
All right.
And furthermore, it's the 100th anniversary of his death.
Oh, whoa.
Double script rewrite.
Oh, man, I'm feeling the pressure now.
I mean, I didn't know this, but Vic DiGeronimo was, when I right before I came in, he had just looked it up because I guess he's going to use it on his classic morning prelude tomorrow morning. He felt he couldn't withhold that information from me, given part of the topic of our conversation. So there you go.
Yeah.
You have to throw that in there somehow or another. So, Scott, you have brought along somebody with you as well. You guys are going to do us a little song from the show.
That's right. We're going to do a selection from Sousa's Glass Blowers. That was its original title in 1909. Its premiere in 1913 was As the American Maid, and it's called The Song of the Factory.
So why don't you introduce the lovely Martin Stromberg?
No, it's the handsome Martin Stromberg. Martin works for the Rare Book and Manuscript Library at the University of Illinois. We've been performing together for just a little over a year, and just our paths happened to cross as a result of a farewell performance for a colleague who was leaving Rare Book and Manuscript. Mm-hmm. And we had such a good time, and the audience thought we were so good that we've been playing ever since, and we've been playing in schools and in concerts all over Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Here we have the handsome and talented Martin Stromberg and Scott Schwartz and Sarah at the piano. And it's live on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
My love is a blower, he's a blower, he's a blower. Oh, my love is a blower, and he loves only me. And he loves pretty glasses, pretty glasses, pretty glasses. And he kisses the lasses, but he loves only me. Oh, my love is a teaser, he's a teaser, he's a teaser. Oh, my love is a teaser, and he loves only me. He attends to the fires, and the girls he admires, but he loves only me. My love is a batchman, he's a batchman, he's a batchman. Oh, my love is a batchman, and he loves only me. He melts glowing masses, glowing masses. On flirtations he passes, but he loves only me.
Nicely done. Nice whistling. That's not easy to whistle high. I have tried.
You've got to practice.
You do have to practice. Yeah, that's right. What is a blower and a batchman?
These are people who work in a glass blowing factory. And the blower is in reference to the gentleman who is blowing the beautiful glass works. The batchman is the one who's bringing the raw materials to the blower to actually form the glass. Sousa's 1913 premiere in Rochester, New York, actually included live glass blowers for the staging and silent moving film of the was it the Battle of San Juan Hill? Because the story is about a love between a woman and a glassblower. A glassblower who's a little flirtatious, maybe more so than he should be. And then they're called off to war. And so the scenes are set in the glass factory. And then in the Cuba, where we have this battle scene. So it's an interesting use of glass blowers and silent movie film. As far as we're aware of, it's the first time silent movie film is used for any music production. I mean, we think of it as part of a production today, but bottom line is that Sousa was way ahead of everyone else. The problem was the critics really panned the show, and that really ticked them off.
Those critics, they can just ruin everything.
They can.
Well, that's one of the songs that'll be on the Granny's Porch show at the Virginia Theater Friday night. It's called Sousa Meets the Mikado, Finishing the Unfinished on Granny's Porch. And that Virginia Theater is on Park Street in downtown Champaign. Wonderful old still being restored, but now mostly restored movie palace with lots a little bit still to do there. But it's a lovely place to go see a show. And it was set up for this kind of thing in the first place. Next up on our preview of this variety show are Robin Kirtan and Matt Croissant. Matt was just here a couple of days ago.
Yeah, on Monday.
Was it Monday? With a very different group. And you guys are going to do something called the Ice House Jig. Is this by anyone in particular or one of those traditional tunes?
Jean René. It's funny. This is one of those jigs that everyone plays and everyone knows. And I thought that it was just one of those jigs that didn't have a particular composer. And as I was talking to, again, Tom Foe, who has like kind of a lot of silent behind-the-scenes influence on this show, I said, oh, well, and then we're going to do this jig. And Scott wrote to me and made sure that, because he was trying to figure out what jig we were talking about. And Tom goes, oh, yeah, Jean wrote that. I met him up in Quebec when I was doing my field work. And I said, oh, okay, so it's not an anonymous traditional jig anymore.
So the name is Jean what?
René. Am I saying that right, Scott? Do you remember?
My French is dreadful, so don't trust me.
I think, well, it's in the program.
And it's the Ice House jig?
It's an Ice House. It's become like a standard. It's a very compelling jig. And
looking forward
Matt
to
and
it.
I are going to play it for you.
Live.
The Bodacious String Band will be performing this. So Matt and I will be playing it, but there will be many other people involved.
Yeah, so for our purposes today, I'm going to pretend to be a cello section and several other people as well.
Yeah, and I'll just be a fiddle player. But I'll be representing about 40 of them.
Who are like under the age of 18.
Yeah, they're all, yeah. I think two of them might be almost 18, but the others are like 6 and older. But
Robin Kierten on the fiddle, Matt Croissant on the guitar. It's the Ice House Jig by Jean somebody or other. Heard here on Live and Local, and it'll be among the many bits on the show, the variety show that's called Granny's Porch at the Virginia Theater Friday night. And we have one more preview. We bring back Nancy Three Hoffman from her one-woman Mikado. And what is where does this fit into the story?
This is a song early on in the show where Coco, the Lord High Executioner, is going to marry Yum Yum, but this young man named Nanki Poo, who had fallen in love with her a year ago, comes to town and is very distressed that Yum Yum's already getting married. Because the laws against flirting are very severe, in fact, it's a capital crime in the Mikado's Japan, they aren't allowed to flirt. But Nanki Poo tells her that this is what he would have done had he not been engaged. Had she not been engaged to Coco. Were you not to Coco plighted, I would say in tender tone, loved one, let us be united, let us be each other's own. I would merge all rank and station, worldly sneers are naught to us. And to mark my admiration, I would kiss you fondly thus. He would kiss me fondly thus. But as I'm engaged to Coco, to embrace you thus con fuoco would distinctly be no joco, and for that I should get toco, 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 toco. Oops. So in spite of all temptation, such a theme I'll not discuss, and on no consideration will I kiss you fondly thus. Will I kiss you fondly thus? Let me make it clear to you, this is what I'll never do. This, oh this, oh this, oh this, this is what I'll never, never do. This, oh this, oh this, oh this, this is what I'll never do. He'll never do, I'll never do, he'll never do. Oh this, this is what I'll never, never do.
So that's how it works in a one-woman show.
That's how it works, yeah.
You got to be everything at once. Nancy Three Hoffman will be bringing a somewhat shortened version of her one-woman Mikado to the Virginia Theater stage as part of this variety show called Sousa Meets the Mikado, finishing the unfinished on Granny's Porch. Thanks to Sarah Schwartz on the piano, Matt Croissant, and Robin Kierten and Nancy Three, and
Martin
Stromberg. I was going to say Matt, but we just did, yeah. Matt, and Scott Schwartz. All the many others who will be involved in this show. Best of luck to everybody, and thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You're listening to 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features organic Italian and Spanish wines from small vineyards, followed by live music from 7 to 9 p.m. with the Almost A Trio. It is Live and Local. Thanks for listening. I'm Kevin Kelly.
I like to see a tiger from the Congo or the Niger, and especially when lashing in his tail.
For volcanoes have a splendor that is grim, and the earthquake only can be by the lords. But to him who's scientific, there is nothing interesting in the falling of a flight of thunderbolts.
Yes, in spite of all my meekness, if I have a little weakness, it's a passion for a flight of thunderbolts.